Hello, you are listening to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And today we are coming in live from rural Japan.
Literally in some village.
Some random village.
There's like rice fields everywhere.
Yeah, we've been harvesting some rice.
Just some tea leaves.
To survive off of for now.
Yeah.
We are your hosts for the hour, Vista.
And Layla.
And we have a myth that really just coincidentally, like, geographically is so similar to where we are right now.
I know. It's really random, actually. Like what a coincidence.
I know.
To be honest. Mount Fuji, by the way, looks really beautiful.
Yeah. Gorgeous mountain.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Who would have thought?
Right?
I've never heard of this mountain before.
Okay, so our myth for today is the crane's return of a favor, or tsuru no ongaeshi, which is a story from Japanese folklore, and it's a pretty famous story about this crane and her trajectory, her business sense, if you will, and her sacrifice. It's not, those are just three aspects. Like, it's about other stuff as well, but let's get into it. Picture this. You are a young, kind-hearted, honest, hardworking village, like, young man, right? And you work really hard, you toil on the fields, but it's winter, there's not much to harvest, and you're low-key, like, tight on the funds, you don't have money. But again, your heart is big and your heart is rich. And so you're like heading home from the market, you know, empty-handed pretty much, and you're like, wow, I'm gonna be eating ice soup today for dinner. And then all of a sudden you hear this like little squawk squawk like bird sound, and you're like, wait, what is that? And so basically this young man stumbles upon a tragic sight. There's a crane that's been shot down by hunters and is trapped in a cage, or like a net or a trap of some sort. Imagine
free the crane, walk out.
Yeah, let the cranes vote.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and you being a kind-hearted young man, right, as you know, they exist and stuff, decide that you must free this crane. So, yeah, this young man, he goes on, frees the crane, and goes and flies away, right, after, like, nursing its injuries.
Beautiful.
The next night, he hears a little knock on his door.
I wonder who that could be.
Yeah.
Like, literally, who could that be in the middle of nowhere?
Exactly. And he's like, what is this? But, you know, being a nice, naive, innocent young man, opens that door, and there is a beautiful maiden standing in front of him. And he's like, what? And she's like, I'm your wife. And he's like, wait, what? And then his first thought isn't even like, why? Like, where are you? Who are you? Like, how are you my wife? It's like, sorry, like, I literally don't have money to support the both of us. It would not be fair to you. And she's like, no worries. I have this bag of rice.
Exactly.
And it refills every night. And it'll, like, that'll be enough for us to feed off of. And she's like, and I'll, like, trust, I'll figure out the funds, right? And he's like, all right. You know, sounds like a deal. So now he has, like, a baddie wife.
Exactly.
That he loves and takes care of, not financially, because she has the bag of rice. And also, speaking of which, I wish I had, like, a bag of rice that refills. Because then I wouldn't have to carry it from, like you know, from the store to home.
Literally.
Those bags of rice are heavy. Anyways, so he's living happy, right? That next day, his wife tells him, hey, like, I'm going to go into this room, and I'm going to close the door, and I'm, like, working on a little project, right? You cannot, under any circumstance, open that door and peek until I am done and come out myself. And he's like, you know what? Better to not ask questions.
And good,
right? He trusts his wife. He has faith. And so he just, like, lets her do that, right? And so she's, like, in there, and she's in there for, like, 7 days. She sounds like she's doing some crazy work, right? And low-key, it sounds kind of painful. He's like, okay, should I check on her? Should I not? But he's like, you know what? She told me not to, so I'm going to listen.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And then so she comes out. After 7 days, she looks a little, like, frail, a little thin, right? A little bony. And she comes out with, like, the most beautiful garment ever, right? Like, imagine the most, like, beautiful, beautiful dress garment thing ever. And she's like, can you go sell this at the market, like, for a high price, and it'll, like, cover our costs for, like, the rest of the winter or whatever? And he's like, yeah, of course. And then so he goes to the market. Everyone at the market's like, I want a piece of this. And so it sells like crazy, and he comes back with like a ton of money, ton of coin, and, you know, and she's like, okay, like, this is amazing, you know, we're happy, et cetera, et cetera. But that is not where the story ends. I wish that was where the story ended, and it was just like rinse, repeat of that. But so she goes in to make like one more garment, right? And it's just sounding like really, really painful. And then like this like village, like, I don't want to call him, like, a loser, but he's just, like, a loser,
doofus.
Like, yeah, doofus in the village, you know, evil, nasty merchant, because, as always, capitalism is the issue. Basically.
Basically,
he hears another knock on the door, and, you know, as per usual, he opens it, and it's, like, this nasty merchant dude from, like, the market or whatever. And this is, like, this is kind of, like, the embellished story version. Like, the original, like, simple story doesn't have this part necessarily, but, you know, variations with folk tales make it interesting. And yeah, so this merchant guy is like, I really, really want your wife's or your clothing, right? The thing that you sold, it was so beautiful, and, you know, I just like want one to be like better than everyone else, right? And he's like, well, sorry, there was only one. And he's like, well, can you make another one? And he's like, well, that's not up to me. Like, the young man is like, that's not up to me, that's up to my wife.
Exactly.
Right?
Again.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Defending her. And he's like, well, don't you know how she makes that garment? Like, you could just tell me. You know, I'll do it myself. And the husband is like, no.
It's patented.
Like, yeah, it's patented. Okay, well, he should have said that. I don't think they had patents in, like, pre-feudal Japan. But,
that's
like,
okay.
Maybe they should have for this story. But so he's like, no, I actually don't know. Like, she locks herself in the room and, like, does that for, like, 7 days. And he's like, well, that's weird. You should know. It's like, aren't you nosy? Like, you should know what's going on with your wife's, like, little clothing business. And he's like, well, I guess, but she told me not to, like, enter the room, so I'm gonna respect her wishes, as he should, right?
This being, like, the pre-feudal Japan, going through your girlfriend's phone.
Yeah, literally.
He was like, no, I'm not gonna go through
Yeah,
her
he
phone.
Said, you know what, I trust you to have Snapchat, or whatever.
Exactly.
And then, so... But, like, the merchant keeps nagging, and he's just like, okay, like, no, I'll talk to her or whatever, right? And he comes back, like, he's sitting in his living room, and he can hear his wife working away, like, in the next room over. And it's just sounding, like, really painful. Like, it's just sounding like a really grueling, like, work experience. And he's obviously concerned for his wife, right, as a kind young man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, maybe I should check on her. And he's, like, getting curious. And he's like, no, but she told me not to, right? Going back and forth, back and forth. And then this is the part I hate. His curiosity wins.
No.
He tiptoes over to the door, and he cracks it open, like, literally a centimeter, right? And the wife, somehow having, like, the eye of an eagle, sees him peeking in. And she's like, oh! And he's also, like, oh! Because that wife of his, right, who's, like, been working away, was actually, drumroll, the crane he saved. Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
And she is in her true crane form, which she couldn't have him see, and she's, like, plucking out her feathers to make a beautiful garment so that he can sell it and provide for them. Well, she's really the one providing, but, like, provide coin money, I guess. Be the middleman. And when the crane sees that, like, her heart probably shattered into a billion pieces, because, you know, word on the street is that cranes, when they're seen in their true form, right, must fly away. I mean, that's not necessarily the rule. It's just, like, if you're seen in your true form,
you
gotta go. You can't stay a human anymore.
Awful.
So she, like, busts through the door and flies away into the sky, never to be seen again.
No.
Yeah. It's a
so tragic
tale. Yeah.
Very sad.
Exactly.
Imagine, like, being him in that moment. Like, what do you do? You
I
just
would
found
just
out your
sob.
Wife is a crane, and then, like, she just flies out.
And the crazy thing is, he literally, like, didn't even care that she was a crane. You know? She was like, no, don't leave. And she was like, no, I have to. Like, sorry. rules are rules.
Rules,
like,
of nature.
Right? Ugh. I don't even know who came up with that, but,
awful.
Like, yeah. There's
awful.
Also, like, a variation of this called, like, the crane wife, where they, like, get married. I mean, they get married in the other one, too, but, like, it's more just her telling him, like, I'm your wife. They get married in the other one, and, like, he finds out about, you know, her becoming really fragile and thin and, like, plucking out her feathers to stay a human and to weave, like, silk and stuff. And he's like, well, can you stop? Like, I don't want you to die. I care about you. And she's like, no, like, this is part of love. It's, like, sacrifice. And he's like, well, like, love can exist without sacrifice, but moral of the story is that he's wrong, you know? And there's, like, this crazy bar, and I can't believe I found it on Wikipedia of all things, right? He who lives without sacrifice for someone else does not deserve to be with a crane. And,
hey.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, like, even if you are a kind-hearted young man, like, sacrifice is sacrifice, and crane rules are crane rules.
This reminds me of that one Keanu Reeves quote where he's like, someone asks him, they're like, are you a lover or a fighter? And let me pull up the quote. He goes, well, if you don't fight for your love, what kind of love do you have?
And I remember seeing that clip on, like, Instagram Reels.
Yeah, he says it's so funny. He's just like, if you don't fight for your love.
I know. Yeah, Keanu Reeves seems like, that's who I'm imagining in, like, rural Japan. Like,
that's the husband?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's
and he
the
was
husband.
Ready to fight for the love. He didn't
that's
care that she was a crane.
Exactly. And really, in my heart, like, the evil merchant man, like, if he hadn't done that, like, they could have gone on and, like, made, like, 2 garments max and she would have, like, gotten really? Healthy again and they would have just, like, lived, like, humbly but with enough money to survive and stuff. And it would have been chill.
Literally.
You know? And the story instead would have been called, like, the crane and her husband and how they lived happily ever after. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's, like, not. Anyways.
With that, we'll go on to our first song of the hour. Very in theme for this folklore.
Cranes in the Sky by Solange.
I'll cry it away.
Don't
Are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone? Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
Welcome back. You are listening to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Crane in the Sky by Solange.
I really like this song. Yeah.
It's so fitting, too.
I listened to it so much that even though I only listened to it for 1 month before, my Wrapped came out, it was, my third most
really?
Listened. Yeah, it was, something like that. I, only listened to it for a part of the year compared to the other songs where I was, listening to them from, January. Anyways, we don't need to get into that.
Your dedication is so reminiscent of the Crane woman's dedication to her craft.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, okay, a little bit of background on this folktale. It is believed to have originated, literally 600 years ago, which is, a while back. But it got, popular in, the late 19th and 20th centuries, and that might be because, the crane was, a pretty familiar bird at that point in time. But, since then, there's been, a lot of overhunting in the late, 20th century. So you don't, really see cranes as much
anymore.
Wait,
I have a question. Is the hunting for their feathers?
I literally have no idea.
I guess.
I feel like, do people eat
because,
cranes?
Yeah, I'm, I don't know that
I'm gonna
cranes
look that
are,
up
like,
right
a
now.
Very eaty bird.
Eaty?
But, yes, during that time.
Oh. Well, I'm looking at an article right now that says tsuru o taberu ? the crane?
And I know taberu
literally
is
just
eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just saying why? ?
Interesting.
People on Yahoo question being like, I kind of want to try it. Where can you? Well, sorry, they're overhunted. You can't try it.
Yeah.
Too bad.
That's unethical.
Yeah. You know what else is unethical? The work conditions that she created for herself. Weaving those
7 days
literally
a week
invented
straight?
A sweatshop for herself at this point, which is crazy. But she did it out of the kindness of her heart and her, mm-hmm. Sacrificial nature and stuff. But what I'm really curious about is it depends on what variation, what kind of garment that she made. Sometimes people say it's a really nice kimono, other people say it's just a long roll of cloth, silk, right?
Mm-hmm.
or like feather silk or whatever. I wonder, I do wonder, in nowadays, right?
If current context.
Yeah, the crane woman was making some items. What do you think she would have made? And, what's giving, a crane vibe, right? And we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
But recently, right, scrolling through social media, I had this, very strange, eerie experience where I got, 8 back-to-back
literally
videos.
Literally got bombed by,
of, this same Isabel Marant dress. It's got, sort of a shimmery, pleated look.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looks like a mix of, jellyfish meets,
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, Jack Sparrow meets, flower meets, loose and baggy and frills, right? So it's definitely a look. I like the way the dress looks. Yeah. I don't think I would ever wear it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would wear it, but I think as a piece, I like how it sits.
Yeah, I like looking at it, but I don't like it on people necessarily.
And I think my introduction to it was so eerie of seeing 7 TikToks in one day about it with that same ASAP Rocky Isabel Marant song that it's okay, what's going on with this dress? Literally, what's happening?
And I think this is what would have happened had the merchant had his way and, gotten multiple of that cloth, from the woman. Which is what he wanted with its greedy little grubby hands,
Nasty.
And, he would have just gone back and made, 7 of those Isabel Marant dresses and been, made money for himself, right? And then people would be posting on, medieval, feudal Japanese TikTok being look, I got the crane cloth, got the crane dress.
The Pandora's box canon for this being that Snapchat and TikTok exist in this timeline.
In 15th century
literally
rural Japan.
Not even MySpace or anything.
No, this is literally
straight
what
TikTok
those videos that are Japan is living in the future.
They were
living in the future.
Japan is
living
in 2025.
Yeah, exactly. Living.
Love that.
Yeah.
And I can see that happening for them. Having happened for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this Isabel Marant dress, and also, I feel like Isabel Marant as a brand is kind of, in that boho chic kind of thing, where, when I think about that, my head goes to Coachella fashion.
Oh,
but, Coachella fashion is definitely, a bit more, exaggerated than what people day-to-day wear boho chic, but I feel like the crane woman could have had a future as a famous designer
for
Coachella. She could have been the it girl where everyone's buying their Coachella outfits from.
It's really just wrong time, wrong place, because if instead of 15th century rural village, if she instead was trapped and freed by a kind-hearted young man in 1990s Milan or something.
Literally.
She could have had a career that we all knew about. But
yeah.
Yeah. Rules are rules, I guess. Crane rules are crane rules.
Literally.
Yeah. Can you imagine TMZ dropping pop or what with pop bass or something? Seeing a pop bass face? The crane has escaped. She is no longer, she's taking a hiatus.
Crane stuns in new escape photos.
Yeah. Oh my god. There's a trailing fabric. Not clickbait.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think in my head when I'm hearing this story and obviously it's the intent is what you were saying, silk or a kimono. It's she's weaving things out of her feathers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in my head, I'm just thinking of those hats with the, the fedoras with the feather in it.
Stop.
And those they have a turquoise stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That vibe, 2014 Coachella outfit is, what I'm thinking
of. She's actually just decorating stuff with feathers. She's, making a nice little feather boa. Yeah. I know, I don't really understand the physics of, using
feather
feathers to weave. I don't know if that's, I'm gonna
I'm thinking, did she take each individual, fiber of the feather and then, use that as, material to weave?
I'm not really seeing any, conclusive evidence.
Or you know those, I don't know the word for this, but it's you'll take yarn and then it's a board of needles and you kind of smack the yarn into it continuously until thins it out into another material. That's also kind of what I'm imagining her
you're
doing.
About. Yeah.
I
can see that.
I don't know what that's called.
I can see how that would also sound really painful as well.
Yeah, because not only is she plucking out her own feathers,
she's
also
them.
Whacking and doing manual labor.
It's kind of it turns into a sort of felt thing, right?
Yeah.
It almost looks when you're felting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what she was doing. Maybe. I'm really curious now, like, to the... Wait, how did the crane...
It's called a blending board. Like, I'm imagining her doing a blending board with her feathers to, like, make the, like, material really, like, stringy and fluffy so then she can weave real clothes with it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
But anyways.
Interesting things to think about. How would she exist in this modern context? Because low-key, she was girl bossing way back when.
Before girl bossing was a thing.
Exactly. So right? I feel like with her grind set, she could have had a...
With her nice little, like, stay-at-home husband.
Literally. She had the support system and the grit and the determination it would have taken for her to make it.
If only that merchant...
Man.
Hadn't woken up that morning. If only he'd slept in.
Annoying,
right?
Ridiculous. And that takes us to our next two songs that we're going to be playing.
Back to back.
Yes, which are both by Canadian artist Remy Shand.
He hails from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Shout out Winnipeg.
Yeah, shout out Winnipeg. And actually, I think you can see Mount Fuji from Winnipeg, which
I'm
is why
sure
we
can.
Chose this this artist to play for you guys. But yeah, so we'll be playing Looking Back on Vanity and Liberate. And we felt those songs sort of, go with the...
They were fitting.
Yeah, R&B soul vibe of the episode and kind of have some,
some connections with the Crane Woman.
Yeah, and
her face.
Sweet, but a little bit sad story.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Enjoy.
Wasting away. Who got lucky when I couldn't stay? Testify my reasons and my worries. I'm running hot, but there's nowhere to go. Thank you.
The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back June 18th to the 22nd. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, art, and much more in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Featuring Japanese punk rock four-piece Otoboke Beaver as guest curator, Brooklyn-based R&B queen Yaya Bay, Canadian synth pop heroes Tops, trailblazing Australian psych rock outfit Tropical Fuckstorm, celebrated hip-hop collective Odyssey and Good Company, Boston slowcore trio Horse Jumper of Love, LA experimental noise rock group Shushu, breathtaking ambient harpist Mary Lattimore, outlandish egg punk band Snooper, genre-defiant Chicago drummer Micaiah McCraven, and many more. Plus, there's over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com.
Interested in radio?
Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Hello. Take a moment to ease your mind. I'm glad you're here. Have you been to that sacred place within? That place that sound can create? Let's go there together. A place with the freshest beats. Gamelan tones of Indonesia. The many sounds of Brazil. The possibilities are infinite, all available on Mixitroph, the best in world music, every other Thursday from 6 to 7pm. Join me, Nolzy, for exclusive interviews with local musicians and musical explorations. Tune in!
Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Liberate by Remy Shand.
So, on the topic of cranes, another thing that I think of when I think about cranes is like paper cranes and origami.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, you know that thing where if you like fold 1,000 paper cranes and you like put them together, you'll, like, be granted your wish or something.
Oh. I feel like I have heard of
that. Yeah, because I remember when I was in, like, third grade or something, I feel like a lot of elementary schools, like, read this book, but it was, like, that book about the girl who survived one of the atomic bombs. I forget which one it was, but it was, like, she folded 1,000 paper cranes, like, as she was dying and stuff. And I remember, like, it was such a sad story, right? And there's, like, a memorial for her, but... Yeah, there was, like, I remember my elementary school teacher, like, sobbing as he read this, and it was, like, a 50-year-old man, right? And we were all just, like, really concerned because we're like, oh, my God, we've never seen, like, an adult cry before. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, anyways, that was a really dark turn. Do we know how to fold paper cranes? I like folding paper cranes.
Yeah. I mean, I've dabbled. I don't think I could do it right now if I tried, like, off the top of my head. But, like, I've definitely made a few.
There's been a few.
Yeah. I don't know how truly rooted this is in Japanese culture, but, like, in elementary school and stuff, I remember they used to, like, tell us to make them for our moms for Mother's Day because they're, like, you make a paper crane for, like, the person that you love.
If you give someone
a paper crane, it's, like, symbolic of love.
I actually don't know if that's true.
Yeah. That might have just been, like, Western world word on the street, but yeah, it's still cute. Like, I feel
really
like
cute.
As a little kid, like... anything you give, you just like love to like make things for your mom.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's gonna be like, oh, you're making a paper crane for your mom. Not authentic. Yeah,
strange.
Yeah.
I also am reading right now that paper cranes are often like given as a wedding gift.
Oh,
is that a thing?
I don't know, I've never gotten
to wish the couple 1,000 years of happiness.
Yeah, well, yeah, crane does have to do with like 1,000 years, like, mm-hmm. Cranes and 1,000 years kind of go, like, hand in hand. Yeah,
cute.
And 1,000, like, in general and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. No, I really like, cranes are such, like, an elegant bird. Like, they're, like, up there for me, like, with, like, swans and...
Yeah. Also, especially
herons are
art.
A bit of, like, they're, like, kind of off-putting cousin or something.
Literally, that's, like, the weird cousin.
Yeah.
But, yeah, cranes and swans both, especially I feel like because of how much they're portrayed in like art and like especially like older, more classical art, I feel like I correlate them with each other and also just like with like beauty and like being classy, elegant girls. But yeah, on the topic of swans, I just love swans so much. Like, that's actually my favorite animal.
I wish we had swans in Vancouver. Or we used to.
The tragic... This is some Vancouver lore for y'all. There used to be so many swans in Vancouver.
Yeah, we had swans in Lost Lagoon.
No. Yeah, and also in West Van.
Oh, in the... Like in the, Ambleside Pond Park thing, yeah.
And this is, like, I remember a few years ago, because I used to just, like, love to go see the swans. And there's also, like, ducks and whatnot, which, like, love to ducks, but, like, when you put them next to a swan, you know? But I went after COVID. I was just, like, on a little walk, and I was, like, so excited to see the swans because it had been a while. There were no swans. Tell me why. I go to look into it. I was like, guys, like, this, like what's going on? Like, are they just, like, on vacation? I need the swans, right? Tell me why I look into it. There's two tragic accidents. This is from the District of Vancouver website. Swan update on February 19th, 2021. There were two swans in Ambleside Pond, right? One of them literally died. And then the other one, this is so sad and tragic, like kind of honestly like relates to our original story. The other one left the pond on foot because it didn't know what happened to the dead one, like its mate. And it just, like, went looking for it. Like, it just started, like, wandering around the park looking for the other one. And then tell me why the government of West Van or district, whatever, like, the people in charge of this pond, decide they're just going to take the remaining swan and take it to a, quote-unquote, waterfowl sanctuary.
Oh, that's interesting.
What about my sanctuary? That pond was a sanctuary for so many swan lovers in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And then the other sad story, the ones that were in Lost Lagoon, this is actually tragic. They were eaten by otters. Like...
That's crazy. Because size-wise, in my head, an otter is, like, tiny, and they should not be able
because they're, like, the cute
eat.
Ones that you think about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the otters in Vancouver are
That's true.
Beasts.
There's, like, a feral otter.
There's, like, the one that ate
the koi fish in Sangat Sen Garden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I remember,
like,
that.
Ugh.
And it kept on coming back for more, too. Is that not insane?
Sorry, not too much on otters, because, like, some of them are cute, but, like,
otters,
the ones we've got going on here are so cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. The ones in the aquarium are so cute.
I know, the fluffy
the
ones.
Little,
but,
like, holding their
shells. These ones are, like, verging on,
not something
like, raccoon.
Beyond, yeah, it's, like, not even raccoon. I want to go for weasel.
That's true. It's just, like, giant
like a big weasel.
This is, like, the rat's cousin to the weasel mouse.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, the rat version of an otter.
Yeah. They ate the swans. They ate the koi fish.
Yeah.
What's going
probably
on?
Probably do other stuff and get away with it, too.
I'm saying.
You know, if a pet goes missing in your neighborhood, you know what happened to it. It was a swan.
And, like, I didn't even know otters were, like, this is literally giving malicious intent because why you're breaking into the back, like, courtyard of a restaurant to eat their koi fish?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And what the hell did the swans do to you? Ugh.
No, yeah, literally.
Maybe there was, like, beef in Lost Lagoon,
when you
like,
think about
turf war.
Because they ate the koi in the pond at, like, Sanyat Sen Garden, right? So that's, like, a whole, like, that's a fortress, low-key.
Yeah,
like, that
that's,
big
like,
walls.
Urban area.
Yeah, big walls. There's not ocean near. Like,
what's going on?
Falls Creek, maybe? I don't trust any, like, any animal or anything that touches, like, the water at Falls Creek, though.
That's true.
Because,
we know,
yeah.
E. coli.
This is what, what happens when you get rid of, like, nature's natural irrigation systems and replace it with a concrete seawall.
Man.
Hashtag colonialism. Hashtag evil.
Yeah.
But
on a bit of a happier note, just because we're on the topic of swans and I love swans, this summer I had a very cute swan interaction, actually,
aww,
that I just wanted to put out into the world because I still think about it all the time. Like, I think this is actually a moment of euphoria that I experienced was I was in Seville, and there's, like, this big park that mm-hmm. has like a bird sanctuary, essentially. Like, it's just like an open park, but like there's so many birds here, and there's like this one pond where there's like a billion types of birds. And I was there in spring, so there was all like the baby birds, and in the pond there was a bunch of baby swans with like their mom swan, and I was just like taking a picture of the mom swan, and it starts to like swim away, and then one of the babies came up actually so close to me. Like, it was crazy. Aww. If I reached my hand out, I could have snatched that baby swan out of the water and taken it home with me. Like, it was so close to me, right? Which was the best experience of my life. Like, it just kept swimming closer towards me. I was like, oh, my God.
You going through, like, the security at the airport. Hi, guys.
Hi, my legally adopted pet. My
emotional support swan.
Literally.
It's a service swan. You can't pet it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Get away.
But how I know that, like, me and this swan family were, like, actually, like, that was such a magical, beautiful moment. Because usually, like, mother animals are, like, crazy protective, right? And, like, this mother swan was literally just, like, sitting aside watching this, like, me and the baby swan just, like, have, like, a staring contest. Like, we were just, like, looking at each other, and I was like, oh, my God, like, please, you're so cute. And, like, the mom did not attack me or anything, which is, like, what I expected to happen. I was like, let me not get too close, because mom's about to bite me. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. So it was just magical, beautiful moment. And then later, this other, like, ugly duck bird was freaking me and my friend out, and the mom swan actually bit it. So her and I were locked in. Like, that was my sister. Yeah, that was just my little swan anecdote. I just wanted to share because that was such a good...
It is very cute.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. I think that's kind of all we've got
for you today.
Yeah,
that's true. And I guess, like, again on that swan theme, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Okay, the title of the album, Among My Swan, is also got a swan, but like the cover art also has mm-hmm. a swan.
Yeah.
And it's a very iconic swan. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mazzy Star symbol. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yeah, so we're just going to be sending y'all off
with Disappear by Mazzy Star from the album Among My Swan. Also very on theme because disappearing, as the crane woman did, she flew away, disappeared forever.
Yeah. Hope she's doing well. Hope she's doing better. Hope she hasn't been recaptured, you know?
Wait, maybe she turned into another woman and she is Isabel Marant.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, maybe.
Because they do live a really long time.
Yeah.
I am not a crane.
But yeah, so thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this folktale. It's one of my personal favorites. Mm-hmm. It used to make me cry as a kid.
Yeah.
I would just like listen to it and cry.
It's so bittersweet.
It is really bittersweet. And it's just, you know, you can take what you want from it. But ultimately, yeah, it is a tale of, you know, how you don't always get what you want, and even when you get what you want, nothing lasts forever, and nothing comes without sacrifice.
Exactly.
Sacrifice. Yeah. So, yeah, with that, here is Disappear by Mazzy Star. Thank you so much for listening to this episode
of Pandora's Box, and we will see you next month.
Yeah, and as always, if you have any folk tales, myths, stories that you would like covered, just let us know. And we will cover them.
Yes.
Trust. All right. Thanks.
Call the name, I can't.